540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. More than 40 million Americans from the South to Midwest are bracing for strong thunderstorms, hail, and possible tornadoes later tonight. After about a dozen twisters hit Oklahoma, this man lost everything.
Yeah, it's material things, but it's still, it's your heart. Your family's worked hard for all this. It's hard.
Three people died there. The Pentagon's now taking steps to prepare for possible evacuations in Sudan. Here's CBS's David Martin.
U.S. officials say special operations forces have been moved to an American base in the African country of Djibouti. U.S. officials are trying to arrange a ceasefire that would allow U.S. troops to conduct an evacuation through the airport. Without a ceasefire, it may be too dangerous for Americans to get to the airport or for the special operations forces to fly in.
Sources tell CBS News President Biden may make a big announcement next week on his reelection plans. It'll likely come on April 25th. Not solid, but it happens to be the same day that he announced his run 4 years ago. A Hollywood actor dodges criminal charges.
Alec Baldwin was facing two charges of involuntary manslaughter. He was holding the prop gun when it accidentally went off, killing the film's cinematographer and seriously injuring the director. Baldwin argued charging him was a miscarriage of justice.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman, a weapons specialist, still faces trial. Another random, violent shooting, this time in the South. CBS's Jim Krasula.
Police in Gaston County, North Carolina, are looking for a man who allegedly shot and wounded his neighbors, a six-year-old girl and her parents, after their basketball rolled into his yard.
I think the bullet came back and it hit me, and the bullet went in my cheek.
District Attorney Travis Page.
We'll be damn sure to be loud and clear when this case comes to court.
The House passed a bill today banning federally funded schools from allowing transgender athletes to compete on girls' sports teams. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer.
The left's lunacy is robbing women and girls of equal opportunities in the name of inclusion.
The bill's not likely to pass the Senate. Well, happy 420 day to all who celebrate. It is an unofficial weed holiday, and a new CBS News poll finds that more people are celebrating. CBS's Fred Backus.
A majority of Americans think marijuana use should be legal in their states. That's something that's been true for a while now. But the latest CBS News poll shows that now a slight majority, 53%, also thinks that using marijuana out in the open is socially acceptable. That's a reversal from just 2 years ago.
This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. The statewide tornado drill set for today has been postponed. Storms are expected today, and the National Weather Service may need to issue actual warnings. The test now pushed to Friday with the same schedule of 1:45 and 6:45 p.m. If the weather is bad again tomorrow, the test will be canceled until next year. A lawsuit against fake Republican electors and their attorneys can continue after a Dane County judge ruled against a motion to have them removed on Wednesday. The suit targets Wisconsin Republicans who posed as electors after the 2020 election and the lawyers who helped them. Those named in the suit met at the Capitol after the state Supreme Court rejected the final lawsuit by the Trump campaign to overturn the results. They cast their ballots for Trump while the actual electors cast their ballots for Joe Biden. The plaintiffs are seeking punitive damages of up to $2.4 million. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $20 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity.
Call 1-800-935-7267,
and you are guaranteed a $20 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand.
To learn more, call 1-800-935-7267.
Call now, and you'll receive a free American Coin Collectors Bonus Package, a $75 value free with every order.
Call 1-800-935-7267 now
to secure your $20 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out.
That's 1-800-935-7267.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
In Minneapolis, find their winter hours and full menu at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Karagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I just want to give a quick shout out. This portion is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Hey, I have a special guest. And it seems like I say that all the time, Trish. I have a special guest, but I really do have a special guest tonight. I have Trish Cook, a rock and roll comedian here, a Native American. I guess we wanted to kind of do This Is Your Life, you know, who are you, what's going on, and then talk about all these great things. And I know you're coming off a big Indian Way comedy in Minneapolis that was sold out and totally excited. I have had a couple of your the other comedians on the show, and now it's time for you, Trish. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me, Robert. I'm really excited to be here. I love what you do. I'm a little hungry for Scotch and Mamas now after hearing them as your sponsor. Oh my gosh, I haven't had them in a long time. It's so good. But it's really great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, let's talk a little bit about you. I know you have three kids that that are probably really young because you're super young.
I have three young adult sons. I'm almost an empty nester, not quite yet, but getting real, real close. Yeah.
Awesome. And you've loved comedy since the 70s and 80s. Tell us a little bit about, I know you're all over the city here too, and you do a lot of things like, you know, hosting a trivia at Dusty's in Northeast. Yep. You know, you do a lot of daily things, but your big jam is comedy. Let's talk about that and talk about who you are. Now, you were brought up in Minneapolis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I sure was. So my family is from Red Lake. We are Red Lakers, and I feel like Red Lake was very, very present in the way that I grew up and the way that my siblings and I grew up in our family. But we did grow up in, I grew up in South Minneapolis, and our house was busy and loud and noisy. And it was kind of a stop that people would have when they were coming through Minneapolis. So we had people coming and going from our house all the time. Sometimes they stayed a couple of hours, sometimes a couple of days, sometimes longer. We never knew, but my parents always had our home open to all. So that's kind of how we grew up. Yeah.
You say you were, it was loud. I think of your brother because I worked with your brother for many, many, many years at Harding. And I know he was a drummer or still is. So I went right there.
Yeah. He had to move his drums a couple of times. His drums were in the garage for a while and then they ended up being in the basement. And I mean, yes, it was loud with people, loud with noise, loud with music, loud with conversation. And I think our volume is just, I think it's loud. I'm not sure.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's really funny, Trish, before, you know, and our community is so small, but before I've met you and I've met you at a couple Native things that you've emceed and done your routine at, people had come up and to me and asked me if I've heard of you, which was really exciting once. And seriously, because I was doing the share every day, show every day at the fair, and some people would come up and go, "Do you know Trish Cook?" And I'm going,
"Well, I know one of the, I know Sarah Larson Sweet is across the way from you at the state fair. I know, and you know, people are right. We do kind of all know each other, and if we don't know each other, it's a one or two person separation, right?
So exactly.
It's small. It's small."
So I just got done reading a book about 3-4 months ago called "We Had a Little Real Estate Problem."
It's
unheralded story of Native Americans in comedy, and we're going to have the author on very soon.
Awesome.
What amazes me, and not probably so much to you, but how Charlie Hill was such a prominent idol to many comedians now, and talk about him a little bit and talk about how he's inspired you to do your thing.
Well, you know, when I grew up and growing up, there weren't many images of American Indians, Native people in the media, not in the mainstream media, not in alternative media. I mean, there just wasn't a lot. I mean, these are the people that I think of like who I saw as Native folks in the media growing up at that time. I mean, there was Floyd Westerman, there was Will Sampson, Buffy St. Marie, there's Charlie Hill. I mean, we'd even take Billy Jack, right? Like if he was on TV, we would run to go watch him, to see him, because they're just weren't enough. I mean, I remember, I don't know what grade I was in, but going to see Wind Walkers, like this really terrible 80s movie, like after church on a Sunday, because it was a movie about American Indians. Mm-hmm. So my family was really, I think my folks were really intentional about letting us see and meet people and be exposed to American Indians wherever it could be. I mean, in academics, if they were theater, if there was a poetry reading, like I remember going to, you know, very sparsely attended poetry readings in, you know, basements or language tables, just, you know, because if you can't see something, if you can't imagine something, you don't know how to model it, right? So with Charlie Hill, I was lucky enough to be in Minneapolis and had, you know, parents that could afford to take us to his shows. He and my father got along well. So when I would run into I remember the last time I saw Charlie Hill was at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And I was just running in to take care of some errands and he was coming by and I was like, "Oh, Charlie Hill, oh, how are you?" And he said, "Well, you know, is that a-hole father of yours still around?" It's like, oh my God, like that's such love, right? Like that's a good thing. So I think it was really important for my parents and my dad especially to show us the variety and depth and many layers of American Indian culture, and that we can fill all kinds of spaces and that there was no space that we shouldn't be in. For me, I mean, I've always loved comedy. I used to sneak downstairs to, you know, watch Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking a lot about this. As you may know, my father died during COVID, and you know, he used to get me, well, he read to me every night when I was a kid. Absolutely every night, and did voices and had this whole routine.
Wow.
And he really instilled a love of reading. And I think no matter how it took to get, you know, us reading, he would support. So for me, it was joke books. And I remember getting like the big, you know, fat street jokes, knock knock jokes, jokes about rabbits, jokes about elephants, all the stuff, and then other things. I mean, I don't know if he knew, but he also you know, taught me a few good jokes and encouraged that humor. And I think our humor in our communities is so important. And, you know, I remember my dad saying things like, this guy is such a jerk, but he's so goddamn funny. You know, like, it was still a compliment. You couldn't not like somebody who could be funny.
Well, it's funny, too, and we're with Trish Cook here, a comedian of Indian Way of Comedy, and we're talking about her and a comedy, Native comedy, and what we said a little earlier, Trish, is like if your Native relatives aren't making fun of you, they don't like you.
That's right. So, yep.
So
yep.
It's a compliment.
100%. Yeah.
Hey, we got to take a quick break here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
A lot has changed since 2020. Metro Transit wants to hear from you to help build a network that best serves the Metro's needs for the next 5 years. Help us grow the right way as more resources, like more drivers, become available. Learn more, fill out an online survey, and find out about upcoming meetings in your neighborhood at metrotransit.org/network-now. metrotransit.org/network-now.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're here with Trish Cook, and comedian, and one of the stars of Indian Way Comedy. And Trish, I want to get this over with right away so I don't forget, because, you know, I'm getting up there in years and I have a good memory, but it's short. I want people, you to give out your information about how people can get a hold of you, whether it's MC, comedy, or whatever. Let's get that out there. Yep. And then talk about what you are up to in the next month or so.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate that. All of my social media is under Hey Trish Cook or HeyTrishCook.com. I have that because that's how I get called out. People are like, why do you say that? And then they'll hear somebody go, hey, Trish Cook, because I have a name that gets first and last name said at once together. And I also can be reached by email at TrishaLeeCook@gmail.com. And yeah, I'd love to host and MC events. We do comedy. I do comedy individually and then with my guys, John Roberts and Rob, the Res Reporter Fairbanks. So the three of us are what's Indian Way Comedy.
Right. And you have a new, you have an upcoming event in April 23rd, which is really coming up quick.
This Sunday, this weekend.
Wow. I don't even know what day it is, Trish. That's how old I'm getting.
Me either. we were going to have a show, the three of us, the original Indian Way Comedy, with myself and John and Rob. And unfortunately, Rob's mother is in hospice and she's expecting to make her journey onward. So we're sending love and prayers and healing to Rob and his family. So he is not going to be there this Sunday. And John Roberts, he did not plan well and was going to miss his mom's birthday. So John is out so that he doesn't have all the Red Lake women in his life upset with him. So we've got two bringers coming up. So Deanna Ray Standing Cloud, she is also from Red Lake. And then we have Arthur Hardy, who has basically grown up in the Twin Cities, but he's a Leech Laker. So we still have the same representation of Red Lakers and Leech Lakers that we normally do. But on Sunday, I will be considered the headliner and closing out the show. So I'm excited about that. We will be at the House of Comedy at the Mall of America.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. It's a real 7 because sometimes we put the wrong time on our posters. but it's a real 7 because the Mall of America, the House of Comedy does early shows on Sunday. So it's a real 7 o'clock start time.
Well, you know, it's funny that you have Deanna on because in that book that I referred to, we talk a lot about our comedians came as powwow MCs, and she's one of the only and first women powwow MCs in the country, and she does a fabulous job.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. I thought that's great, and I like to support you know, women and women comedians when I can, whether they're native or not. I mean, it's comedy is a tough business. It is really tough. It gets really ugly. And I think it's even tougher for women, really, truly, for a lot of different reasons. And I think being a woman of color and an Indigenous woman adds other layers to that. So I'm really excited for what she's going to do. I'm excited to share the stage with her and get her exposed to a whole new group of, you know, new audience. It'll be great.
I think, you know, and I hate to shit on you, but I think we should have a comedy contest here in the Twin Cities.
And there's too many already.
And have Indian Way run it and bring people all over the country and just have...
Okay, who's sponsoring? Can we get Scotch and Mamas to sponsor that? Maybe. I would do that. That would be awesome.
I think we should get some tribes to sponsor it personally, because I think promoting women comedians and men comedians is huge, and especially with the way things are blowing up here with reservation dogs. Yep. Prior to that, we had Rutherford Falls, and there's still things out there.
Northern Exposure. I still think Northern Exposure doesn't get enough attention. I mean, they show Native people just not as sidekicks, not as a, you know, one-off, but as complex characters that had funny stuff going on and that dry humor. And I think they did it so well without being all the beads and feathers stuff. Right. I mean, that's fine. It has a place, but it shows that I think that was the first show that I watched that was like, wow, they're showing us on TV, which I had never, we weren't the main characters, but we're still more evolved than I had ever seen before.
Well, it's funny, too. I did not put two and two together, but the comedian that was in the back, in the car that was going backwards on the reservation on smoke signals was the actor from Northern Exposure.
Yep, Arlene. Yes. Yep. And now she's everybody's auntie.
Yeah.
So that's great. And I mean, it's so great to see. So it's fun.
Well, how did you get your start? So when was the first time you got out on, we were talking a little bit about that, you know, with watching Saturday Night Live and Charlie Hill, what got you on the stage finally? How many years?
I actually been, booking and helping produce shows at a theater in South Minneapolis for many years with Joe Manjaris, who is a Chicano comedian here, an actor in Minneapolis. And I was lucky enough to be really good friends with his kids, with him. And I worked for him for many years. And Joe gave me a lot of love and inspiration and was like, hey, you should just do it. I mean, you're funny. You got to, you know, and he pushed me. So after a number of years of working behind the scenes, I finally did it. I think I don't keep track of my comedy anniversary as well as a lot of other comics do for some reason. Like, it's just like, I actually kind of don't want to remember the first time I went on stage. But it's been about 10 years. And then, you know, we had the break during COVID. I didn't go out a lot then. And then, you know, coming out, and then John and Rob and I have been doing our stuff together for about just over a year. So yeah, I finally took the leap and was like, yep, I hate it and I love it. I'm going to keep doing it. Because it's terrifying. Right, it's terrifying every single time. And every time before I go up, I want to throw up. I feel sick for days before a show. And, you know, you're by yourself. You don't have a team. You don't have a band with you. You don't have, you know, supporting cast members. It's just you kind of being a jerk by yourself for however much time you have and hoping, you know, that people like you and don't, you know, it's tough. It's brutal. But I feel like when we do the native specific shows, that it feels like, nope, this crowd is on your side. You know, this crowd is on your side. They want you to see you do well. They want to be excited. And they, you know, they recognize a lot of the people that we talk about, that I talk about, and that other native comedians talk about. It's, there's something, you know, kind of universal about our families, and whether we're urban or reservations or really remote, you know, really remote areas. There's something that we can all kind of laugh about. And I love it. I love that part so much. I really do.
Well, if we were an urban comedy show or contest, we could call it Zero Res, you know.
Because, yeah, we could get them as a sponsor.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
But,
perfect. You know, I like that. That's good.
You can steal it. You can use it the 23rd. No. Oh.
I might use it.
Everything. It's been, I always say when I steal my material, because I used to be a high school teacher, as you know, and
yes,
kids would always say, you should be a comedian and get paid for this. And I say, I am. I do get paid for it. And I have the summers off.
Actually, I was just talking to my brother earlier today that, you know, and he said, we were talking about my dad. I was like, well, I think he might be happy because I'm finally getting paid for what I do best, is which is talking, like just talking. And that's it. And I think you'd think that that's all right.
Well, and you probably do well with hecklers, seeing that you have three grown boys, right?
they're my meanest and harshest hecklers and critics, for sure. They really are. We don't get a lot of hecklers at the native shows. We really don't, because people are having fun and doing it. I get that in other places, and myself and all other comedians, we hate it. It doesn't help the show. It's not the way it's supposed to be. I don't care what your cousin in New York told you. Heckling is not part of the show. I mean, it just kind of ruins everybody's nights, and, you know, it takes away the vibe and your cadence, you know, that you're on. So no, I've dealt with hecklers, not a fan at all. So this is not a challenge to anyone either. Cause like you said, I do have three boys. They challenge me enough. So.
Well, what I like, Trish, about native humor is it's almost like, remember the days of watching the Flintstones? You had the adult humor and the kid humor at the same time. Yes. And we have the native humor and the humor on the on the same jokes that we all get. And that, you know, Reservation Dogs does that really well. You guys do it so great. Well. And this is really flown here. We only got like a minute left. I want you to, again, talk about the Indian Way comedy show and a couple of things Indian that are Way coming
up. Yep, that will be happening this Sunday at the House of Comedy at the Mall of America, 7 p.m. So you can get your shopping in, get your Orange Julius, your Aunt Annie's, get your stuff, go check out Nordstrom Rack or whatever you have to do, and then come on in to the show. That would be great.
Trish, we got to do this again. This just flew
I'd love
for
to.
Me.
Thank you.
This just flew for me. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And
great to see you.
Yes, always great to see you, and see you up there emceeing at all our Native things. It really is inspiring.
I hope so. Thank you so much. You're going to ask for a cut now, aren't you?
Oh,
thank you so much, Miigwech.
All right, we'll see you soon. All right.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt has declared a state of emergency after touring tornado damage today in Shawnee.
We've already got engineers on site assessing the buildings right now and all the things that were damaged. And so anyway, we'll put it back together.
At least three people died near Oklahoma City. More storms are expected tonight. The U.S. is now taking steps to prepare for possible evacuations of embassy officials in Sudan. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
The focus right now is on urging both sides to stop this violence, to abide by a ceasefire, to allow humanitarian aid to get to people that need it.
Charges dropped against actor Alec Baldwin over the shooting death of a cinematographer.
The case was progressing quickly, and different prosecutors actually took over this case. And we have to basically surmise that they didn't think they could prove this beyond a reasonable doubt to a juror.
That's legal analyst Jessica Levinson, CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's former parole chief is charged with public corruption. John Tate II is now on the Racine City Council. He voted to create a new violence interruption coordinator position in Racine last summer. He took the newly created job himself last fall. Prosecutors say Tate acted in his own financial interest while working as a public official. He could spend up to 6 months in jail. The Wisconsin Senate has confirmed 27 more of Governor Evers' appointees. The Senate confirmed a few more appointees in March, but the new year started with 180 unconfirmed appointments. Many Democrats complain Republicans are slow rolling the confirmation process for purely political reasons. In sports, the Bucks and Heat are tied in their playoff series one game apiece. Milwaukee won last night 138-122. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Embroidery Professionals Plus, how may I help you?
I'm needing to get some patches made for a club I'm in. Is that something you guys do?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure how to get started.
Well, I'm happy to walk you through the process. Custom patches could be made in any size or shape and can be embroidered or printed. To get started, email your design.
Embroidery Professionals Plus has custom apparel specialists ready to work with your club, too. Two Wisconsin locations in Deerfield and Eden. Embroidery Professionals Plus, apparel you love, service you crave. Oh, yeah, and home of the Wisconsin Tailgater hoodie. Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Mary Jane's in Waukesha is truly all things hemp. Celebrate 420 today and let Mary teach you all about the benefits of hemp and recommend the perfect product for whatever ails you. 335 West Main Street in downtown Waukesha. Open daily 11 to 6 or online at MaryJanesHempShop.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Now, I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? That was a good one. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and Wendy, you don't take any crap about these, our sacred animals.
I really don't.
Add that to the intro, but no, I appreciate it. And I just want to say too, during the 7 years that we've done this show, I've really learned a lot. And I've always, been keyed in with our sacred animals, mm-hmm. but I've really learned so much more, and I really appreciate that. And I really feel more connected to our relatives because mm-hmm. of the segment that you do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. Funny story. Can I just say it really quick?
Yeah.
So I'm a humane policy volunteer leader. That's like a big word, right? For the Humane Society of the United States. We were supposed to be just humane policy leaders, but then the acronym would have been HPV. And they didn't want us to be HPV because it's a human papillomavirus.
Right.
So that's why they added leaders at the end. So we're humane policy volunteer leaders. Woo!
So we
a funny kind of story. I just learned that the other day talking to our state director. So
we learn it.
Yeah. So I was talking last week about going to the Blaine, Minnesota City Council meeting where I was able to testify on behalf of the Humane Pet Store Ordinance, and I kind of just said it out there on the radio airwaves exactly kind of what I was going to say to the city council members, because I wasn't sure whether when I got there whether I was going to be able to testify or not, because it is a first come first serve basis. But I did. Wow. I wrangled my way up there and I was able to talk about the Humane Pet Store Ordinance. And just quickly, the Humane Pet Store Ordinance, what it does is it severs the pipeline that these pet stores have from getting the puppy mill and puppy mill kittens into their store. So that's what that does. We need to stop these puppy mills. And the way to go about it is to put this ordinance in place so that the pet stores no longer can obtain cats and dogs from puppy mills. And I've talked about this 1,000 times on the show. Right. Anyway, yeah, here in Minnesota, this ordinance is in place in St. Paul, Roseville, Eden Prairie, Carver, Cloquet, and now we're working on Blaine. Right. We've been working on Blaine for 5 years now. If I have anybody listening from Blaine, Minnesota, I would really, really appreciate it. And all of us would appreciate it so much if you can get in touch with your city council member and tell them that you support the Humane Pet Store Ordinance and you would like to see that in Blaine. You want Blaine, Minnesota to join the humane family with all these other cities in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So that's what definitely. That's my ask for today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to just say this once again. I'm so happy. Howling for Wolves.
Oh.
Yeah. I got an email. And we already knew that this happened and we mentioned it, but I want to say it again because it's really important. The Minnesota House of Representatives voted to prohibit wolf recreational hunting in Minnesota. This is awesome, really awesome news. Now what happens, it goes from the House to the Senate, and now the Senate has to vote. So we all have senators that represent our local areas, and I would also suggest, this is my second ask for the day. Hey, my second ask for the day. I know I'm going to ask people, please help. To get in touch with your senator and let them know that you care about our Minnesota wolves. You want to see them here for future generations, and you want to ban wolf hunting. So if you could do that, that would be great.
You know, something interesting, Wendy, I'm sorry, I want to jump in here for a second. There were 69 yeses, yays, and 57 nays, right?
Yeah.
But several Republicans were not there, and some did not even vote that were there. So that tells me that they were for the bill, but they didn't want to be on record, doesn't
it? That is a very good theory, yes.
And then one Republican who didn't care Minnetonka, Tonka Bay voted pro-wolf was Andrew Myers. So big Peenigigi, thank you for voting your conscience instead of a political.
Exactly. So political thank you. That was awesome. Yes, I love that. And then again, everybody knows that Robert went and testified in front of our Senate about this bill. It was an informational hearing, and people got up to speak their truth as well. And Robert did an awesome job. So I just want to thank you so much for doing that, Robert. I know it's, you know, it takes a lot of time out of your day. You have to prepare what you're going to say. It's a little bit nerve-wracking to get in there. It's like, you know, hours and hours of, you know, it really takes a lot to do with to do that, to get up and to figure out what you're going to say and to testify in front of the Senate. It's very intimidating, but you weren't intimidated at all.
Well, you prepped me, so big Peenigigi, Wendy.
You did such a great job, and you really had, you know, really good comebacks for some of the comments and questions that you were asked. So I just want to say thank you. Peenigigi.
You're welcome.
We have to really care about our wolves and our wildlife. And, you know, I might talk about this on the next segment. I want to talk about Robert and I have been going through a really tough emotional and stressful time right now. I just want to talk about our neighbors. So we have neighbors here who have squirrels in her attic. And she hired a company to come and trap the squirrels.
Well, I don't even know, Wendy, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't even know if they're really in her attic. When I went over there and talked to her in a good, calm way, she said that the squirrels were walking on the roof and keeping her daughter awake. So, and then as the conversation went longer, it was other things like squirrels were getting the house and, but you'd know more because you get investigated a little more than me. I just went over when we saw that horrific sight.
Yeah. So what was happening, and we don't know if it's stopped yet, but what was happening is this company, I'm not going to name the company. There's hundreds of them out there. They claim to, you know, come and get rid of your critters that are in your attic and house, and they trap them. What they do is they claim to be as humane as possible and relocate the animals. So what happens is this guy puts the traps on top of her roof. Now, she's really high up. She has a really big house, and the roof is really high up. So he puts these two traps up there. And from where we are, Robert and I are, from our window, from our deck, from our house, we our backyard, we could see these traps very easily. They're right there in front of our face. And we could watch these squirrels in the tree, like squirrels live in trees, right? They climb around in trees. And what they do is they bait the traps. I don't know what they put in there, but the squirrels are very intrigued about what's in the trap because they go in the trap. So it must be something really good that they like to eat. And then what happens is we're watching. We're watching this squirrel climb around in the tree, and then we watch the squirrel go down on the branch closer to the roof, jumps up on the roof, and there's Robert and I screaming, "Get away! Get away! Yeah. Get away from the trap!
Kidding.
Don't get in the trap. Don't get in the trap." What happens? The squirrel goes in the trap after this yummy bait that's in there. The door closes behind him. The squirrel is, you could see it's physically shocked. It's crawling around, scraping around, trying to get out of this trap. Now the weather's changing, right? Now it's starting to rain harder and harder, and it's thundering and it's lightning. And this poor squirrel, you could hear him screaming, scratching around this trap, trying to get out, cannot get out. Now it's dark. Now it's dark. It's raining. It's thundering and lightning. What happens the next day? I see the guy, the company, pull up in the truck, gets his 40-foot ladder out, maybe even higher, climbs up there. What happens? What does he bring down? A dead squirrel in the trap.
Yeah.
A dead squirrel in the trap. This poor animal died a horrific, horrible, tragic death. This wasn't a fast death. The cat, you know, the squirrel just didn't like get his head chopped off and it's dead. No, It stood there for hours and hours and hours. It might have taken 10 or 12 hours. They come every 24 hours to get the squirrels out. Mm. I could not even sleep.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of easier, more humane. I wanted to, before I get into that, I just want to say 97% of squirrels, they're very territorial animals. They're territorial. So 97% of squirrels who are relocated die shortly after because all the territory is already taken up, right? There's already squirrels already there living in the trees. There's usually one or two squirrels per tree. That's it. Mm-hmm. They chase all the other squirrels out and they soon die after being relocated. There are more humane ways to get rid of these animals. If they're on your roof, if they're making noise, if they're inside your house, bang pots and pans, play really loud music, bang on the walls, mm-hmm. get them out. And when you know that they're not out there anymore, what you could do is like put a piece of cardboard or something that's easy for them to move so that you could see whether they're going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you know that they're out, you need to fix that hole immediately.
Right.
Fix the hole immediately. Trim back your trees. Squirrels go on trees. If they could climb on your roof, that's what they're going to do. Cut back your trees. So anyway, I called the company. I spoke to the woman. I talked to the technician that climbs up the tree, climbs up the house and leaves the traps. And I really honestly harassed I'm not going to lie. I kind of harassed him. And he said to me, "You're not the first one to harass me." So this happens to him all the time.
Yeah.
So please, if you're out there listening, you have little critters in your house, please do the humane thing and not kill animals slowly.
Well, and the sad thing, Wendy, we got like 30 seconds, but the sad thing for me is not only was I thinking about it all the time, mm-hmm. we watched it happen.
Yes.
And so what do? We keep on looking out our window and see this poor squirrel on this roof.
This company was treating these like they're mosquitoes, like squashing a fly. That's how this animal is treated.
Exactly. Hey, up next, more sacred animal portion here with Wendy. We'll be right back after this short break.
I have happier news. Stay tuned.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Wow. Hey, part two, Wendy.
Yeah, this one's going to be a lot better, a lot happier and lighthearted. You know, Robert, I didn't even realize that I wasn't even planning on talking about the squirrels.
Well, that's what's great about live radio. You can just kind of
really heavy on my mind. And it really honestly you know, when you see something like that and you see an animal struggle and really suffer like that, it really, to me, really, I just can't even watch it. I mean, it was heartbreaking. I was like, do we have a 40-foot ladder in our house? I was going to go on our property and get the squirrel down, you know.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just a hard thing. I'm glad we looked today. I made kind of a ruckus. I've called that company and told them what's happening and talked to them about the squirrels and my concern. And I don't see any traps up there now. Now, there might be traps up there. They might be like, you know what? We need to get these traps out of these people's view. And they might put the, you know, put them somewhere else. But yeah. So anyway. There's always a more humane way to do things. Sometimes it might be a little bit harder or take a little bit longer, but there's always the humane way to do things. And that's what I want
just
people to think about, you know, because these companies, Robert, they tell you we do it the most humane way possible. We relocate the squirrels where there's food sources. You know, this is what this guy was telling me. So he was telling me all these good things, but
so we're going to do another segment on this or no?
I'm not. No, what I'm done talking about I have a fun story I want to share.
Give me one second. I want to just say one thing.
Yeah.
It's horrific. It was a horrific experience for both of us. And these are our relatives. And I just want to throw that out there, too, because everywhere I looked to break them out, Wendy, it said that how inhumane it was to put in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that.
Right. You said article after article that you looked up how inhumane that was to relocate them because they are so territorial.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Enough about the squirrels.
Stay with us.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of you may have heard about the bald eagle named Murphy.
Yes,
he's been all over the internet. So he's from Missouri and he lives in a sanctuary, the World Bird Sanctuary in Missouri. So Murphy has been there for a really long time because he has a broken wing or a wing that's deformed or something. Well, he can't fly. So he's been there. He's 31 years old. And what happened about a month ago was because the weather changes and, you know, it's like the season to have babies and stuff. Murphy found a rock that he was incubating.
Wow.
So what they found was Murphy went, he found a bunch of sticks and he's on the ground, right? Because he can't fly. So he's not in a tree or anything, but he kind of made this little nest that he thought was a nest. It wasn't much of a nest, but he put the rock in there and he was incubating the rock. He would get up and turn the rock.
He would sit on the rock.
He would squawk at the other eagles that would come around to say, you know, to protect the rock. And he really, you know, did this. And, you know, the sanctuary thought, well, this is so cute and everything. But how sad is it that he thinks this rock is going to hatch and have a baby eagle? And as far as the sanctuary knows, he's never had any eaglets of his own. And just to say, eagles, bald eagles together, the male and the female co-parent. So they're both very involved. And this explains Murphy's behavior, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was, they found an eaglet, that's mom died.
Come on.
Yeah. So they did.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So they took the rock out, right? They had to sneak the rock out when Murphy wasn't looking, right? And they put this eaglet behind kind of a little bit of a fence so that Murphy could see him, but not really touch him because honestly, they really didn't know how he was going to react when he saw it. You know, he could have killed it, really.
Right.
But what happened was Murphy is turning out to be a pretty good stepdad.
Oh.
Yeah, he's feeding the eaglet and is on his best behavior. And he's really bonding with this little eaglet. And there's so many pictures on the internet. So all you have to do is Google Murphy Eagle, and it'll tell you about the whole story. And it really is quite heartwarming. And just goes to show like how animals really want to nurture and care for the young, right? And he's feeding the little eagle. It's really, really, really cute. It's adorable. And it's just like a really, really heartwarming story. I have another story. It's kitten season. So it's kitten season right now. And I'm going to go bad news now. So
bad news.
But then I'm going to go good news.
Oh, okay.
So St. Paul and Minneapolis Animal Care and Control is getting more kittens and cats right now than they know what to do with. They have more cats. So this is the first time in years that they're euthanizing cats.
Oh, my God.
Because they just don't have enough room.
No.
There's just not enough people out there who want cats,
wow.
Right? So they're overwhelmed with these cats. And it's also kitten season. So all the rescues are really looking for fosters.
Mm.
So if you have room in your house and you could foster, honestly, Robert, I would foster. But right now we have 3 sick animals in our house. So we really can't.
So it's really like 6 animals.
It is. It's a lot. But anyway, if you could foster, it's really helpful. And when you foster, you're really saving 2 animals' lives, right? You're saving the animal that you're fostering so that animal does not get euthanized, and you're also making room for another animal to come in to rescue.
So
also baby bunnies are being born right now.
Bunnies,
I'm sorry, I'm gonna say this on the air, they're not the smartest animals. So listen, they make their nest in the ground, like in the middle of your yard. Our neighbor who moved away, she used to have a hunting dog, and the hunting dog would go out there every day, every day, every day. What did she have in her backyard? The bunny built a nest in the middle of her yard when there's a hunting dog on the property every day. Like, that's not very smart,
no.
I'm sorry to say. But our neighbor was really awesome. What she did was she put like a little fencing around the...
Really?
Yeah, she put a fence around the nest so the dog couldn't get in it, but the mother bunny could go in and out of the nest and feed her young, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy about that. But, you know, A lot of people will see the baby bunnies in the nest in the ground, and say, "Oh my God, I have to rescue them. I need to bring them, you know, somewhere." But you don't leave them alone. What you want to do is make like a what they say is like get some twigs and put them around the nest, or get some yarn and put it around the nest, or put flour around the nest so that you'll be able to see whether the mom is going back and forth and feeding the babies, right?
Wow.
You could also, if the mother's not around, you could pick up one of the babies, turn them upside down and look at their belly. And if you see a nice little round belly, you know that the bunny has milk in it, and you know that the bunny is safe.
Jeez.
And you could pick up the bunny. The mom's not going to say, "Oh, I'm not taking care of my baby anymore because a human touched it." That doesn't happen. So you want to keep your animals out of the area. Use grass twigs to make a little tic-tac-toe pattern over the nest to assess whether the mother is returning to nurse the young. Leave them alone. If you really know that the mom's not coming along, you know, coming around and feeding the babies, and you turn them upside down in the and the baby's belly is really skinny, you want to call your local wildlife rehabilitation center to take further action.
All right, on Wendy. Hey, Pina Gigi, for being on half the show. It's like the old days of Pilots Progressive Party.
I have more. Do you want more?
next week.
All right.
Or maybe even tomorrow. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. Free Leonard Peltier now. We are the 7th generation.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery, where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room, featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.